You know, the people who actually shed blood, sweat, and tears so that we could be here today, you know. What I especially love about the first generation devotees is their resolute determination to understand and execute the desire of Srila Prabhupada, you know. Now that's where it gets tough for me, you know. What does Srila Prabhupada want? I can't even figure out what my wife wants. Pick up your socks. What's that supposed to mean? But I do love devotees. They're great. I mean, they're not perfect, but they're great. I mean, let's be honest, right? Did you ever try to get directions from a devotee? There is no other way, no other way, no other way. But, you know, one thing that bothers me is the schism that's existed in the Hare Krishna movement for some time. Now, I hope it's okay if I get a little political, but it's just something that really kind of gets on my nerves. I think you all know what I mean. I'm talking, of course, about the division between the rockers and the pacers. When, oh, come on, don't feign ignorance with me, Prabhus, you know. The rockers, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Pacers, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Why do they have to fight? You know? What about you, Yadunath? To which category do you belong? I hear you ask me in the fantasy world of my mind. A wonderful place where each of you cares about my japa. Well, I belong to a third category. I sit completely still with my back perfectly straight, my head fully aligned with my spine. I sit with my legs folded in a half lotus position. I sit like this for the entire time I'm chanting my first mantra. Then I start rocking. Then I start pacing. Then I pet the cat, check my email, watch a little TV, paint the house, mow the lawn, wash the car. It's terrible. I'm no devotee. I'm not. Sometimes I'll be sitting there chanting and I'll slowly start to slump down until, clinically speaking, I am asleep. However, my lips are still moving, only at half speed. And then I hear those classic words. Sit properly! Immediately I sit up. Yes, Srila Prabhupada. But of course it's my wife standing there. Don't yes, Srila Prabhupada me. Sit up while you're chanting. And then pick up your socks. So I really wanted to improve my japa. So you know what I did? Anybody? Pray for help to be more attentive? No. Get a book on how to deepen my chanting? No. Go to one of those japa retreats? Uh-uh. Stop fooling around. I'm an actor. I don't have that kind of Lakshmi. No. I got bigger beads. Yeah. Guess what? Turns out it doesn't work that way. Turns out you can have big beads and small devotion, and small beads and big devotion. Nobody told me that. I didn't know it was going to be that hard. But I guess my approach to japa doesn't help. You know, more than the quality of my chanting, I was concerned with the quality of my bead bag. You know, I wanted a really nice bead bag, so I got myself a designer bag. It's okay, he's a devotee designer, you know. Tommy Govardhan Hilfiger. And in an effort to avoid being falsely humble, I got it monogrammed. Yeah, it's a great bag, great bag. It's got a pocket for my cell phone, pocket for the keys to my Hummer, and a pocket for some Akadasi Hing, just in case of emergencies. It's terrible. No devotee. One time I actually had an argument with a devotee over a mat to sit on in Bhagavatam class. Of course, this was not a regular argument. This was a devotee argument. You know, I wanted him to have the mat. He wanted me to have the mat. You take. No, you. Prabhu, please take. Prabhu, I am your servant. You take. No, you. We went back and forth like this, back and forth. Until finally we both decided that neither one of us would sit on the mat. We'd both sit on the floor and we'd leave the mat for a real devotee. Just then a devotee comes along and scoops up the mat. But he didn't sit on it either. No, it turns out by that time, class had been over for 10 minutes already. He put it away. To be a devotee, what a wonderful thing. I know that we've had a few famous devotees since the inception of ISKCON, but I always wish that more famous people would become devotees, you know? We live in such a culture of celebrity influence. Like, could you imagine what the last 8 years would have been like if George Bush was a Hare Krishna devotee? I mean, he had enough trouble being upfront about his Christianity. Imagine if he was a devotee. His State of the Union addresses would probably be a little different, you know. Americans are concerned about Osama bin Laden. He's still at large. Well, I said we're going to get him, and we're going to get him. But I didn't say when we're going to get him. Could be this lifetime, could be the next lifetime, could be the lifetime after that. Got to have faith. Got to chant Rama Krishna Hari, Rama, Rama Krishna Hari Hari Rama, Rama Krishna Rama, Om Namah Shivaya Sai Baba Ki Jai. Sometimes people actually aren't even sure if they're a devotee or not. They're not sure if they're like a classical ISKCON devotee or not. So I took the trouble and wrote up some guidelines to help you determine whether or not you're a bona fide ISKCON devotee. For example, let's see. If you're at a restaurant and a waiter brings you water and you expect him to sprinkle it on your head, you might be an ISKCON devotee. If you buy shoes based on how easily you can get out of them, you might be an ISKCON devotee. If there's no toilet paper in your bathroom, you might be an ISKCON devotee. If you were born in the heart of Dallas, Texas, yet you somehow speak with an Indian accent, you might be an ISKCON devotee. When you hear the word overdose and the only thing that comes to mind is halava, you might be an ISKCON devotee. If you consider waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning sleeping in, you might be an ISKCON devotee. If you start getting ready for a 1 o'clock appointment at 2:30, you might be an ISKCON devotee. If you've been to India at least 10 times but have never seen the Taj Mahal, chances are... So sometimes people ask me, hey, white boy, what made you become a Hare Krishna? Actually, I get this question so often that I've compiled a list of the top 10 reasons why I became a Hare Krishna devotee. So I'll rattle down the list from 10 to 1. And before I get to the number one reason, I'm going to ask you for a drum roll, just to make it a little more dramatic. So if you could just on your laps. Right, yeah, let's give a little, yeah, if you're packing burdungas, go ahead. On the count of three, trial run. 1, 2, 3. Not you, Maharaj. Okay. All right, let's try it. Okay, so the top ten reasons, with apologies to David Letterman, the top ten reasons why I became a Hare Krishna devotee. Number 10, complicated Sanskrit name helps keep pesky telemarketers at bay. Number 9, you can't get a hangover from a mango lassi. Number 8, there's a better chance of meeting Bollywood legend Amitabh Bachchan. Number 7, saffron is the new black. Number 6, Jews have 10 commandments. Christians have 7 deadly sins. Devotees only have 4 regulative principles. Number 5, we put the cult in Vedic culture. Number 4, men can save hundreds of dollars in shampoo. Number 3, when you gain 10 pounds, it's reassuring to be told you're not your body. Number 2, unlike a cross, Tulsi beads will not set off the metal detector at the airport. And may I have a drum roll, please? The number 1 reason why I became a Hare Krishna devotee, 6 words, Galabjamins, Galabjamins, Galabjamins. Hare Krishna. Guru Maharaj Ki Jai.